guys, what's going on? Welcome back to another ESL podcast. Man, I'm your host, Arsenio, as usual, and this podcast is me doing some online coaching with one of my, well, let's just say he's a teacher from India, one of my good old partners who I brought onto the podcast already. This is a very good, well, I wouldn't say this is a very, very good one, but again, 30 minutes of very good feedback in speaking questions part 2 and 3. I went over very briefly with the part 1 because I had already known how he does in particular in part 1, right? So, I hope you guys enjoy this one. I just want to give a nice little intro. And again, guys, if you're interested in online coaching, my Patreon or anything, you make sure you get in touch with me in terms of IELTS and all the other test preparation courses. Let's tune in. Guys, welcome back to another ESL podcast or another IELTS. Guys, this is the first of its kind. I'm doing literally an IELTS live coaching. Boy, it is late at night. Normally, I'm not on my MacBook this late at night, but I say, you know what? I want to kick off a new series to give back to one of the teachers I've already consulted and who has come onto the podcast. So, Sodab, as I am sharing everything right now, on different pages to get people tuned in. Tell the world who you are.
Oh, very good evening. My name is Saurabh. I'm from India. I just have completed my Bachelor of Education from Guru Nanak Dev University. And right now I'm currently practicing on IELTS so that I can become efficient in English, and I also been on the various podcasts with Arsenio, and he's an amazing teacher, I love the way he teach and love the way he guides us, and I wish and I pray that one day he will become more successful, and may God bless him.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sodab. I appreciate it, you know, because I've already brought you on before. We ran out of time, unfortunately. But yeah, man, it's been an amazing experience, like going into one of these groups and, you know, bringing other people on, you know, consulting people from not only India, Philippines and whatnot, but also the likes of Nigeria and other places where I actually haven't been in contact with citizens from these other countries. So it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm going to finish just sharing away the rest of this. And then after that, we are good to go. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to be going over a lot of things. I'm going to run it again. I'm just going to probably just do the part 1, part 2, and part 3. A lot of you who will end up coming on and sharing your thoughts and whatnot, I just want to say thank you to all of you and those of you who are listening on the podcast. You already know who I am. So, Sodab, okay. What we're going to be doing, I have this nice little, let's say this little note section, right? So I brought on a specific individual. She ended up getting a 7 in her speaking, in her IELTS. And she gave me a little note section in terms of the questions that she was asked during her IELTS test, her being out there in Manila, right? So those are the questions that I'm actually going to be going over with you.
All right.
I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be kicking things off. It's going to be real basic stuff, okay? You know the basics in terms of part 1, part 2. Again, part 2 is not very basic. But part 1, again, they're going to ask you, so do you work? Are you a student? Right? The basic questions and whatnot. So, but you already know about that because I've actually already consulted you. But I'm going to give you a very interesting part 1, and that part 1 is, do you feel more active to work in the morning or in the afternoon?
I generally love to work in the morning because you know that early riser group is a good thing, and I woke up early at 5 a.m. in the morning, and after completing my house and chores, I go to work at 8 o'clock. And I try to finish my work as soon as possible. And if they need me to do overtime over there, and I always say yes, because if you do if you do your job in the evening, you can't do the overtime. Like, that's my opinion. But in case, as I'm a teacher, so I need to work in the morning.
Okay. All right. So here we go. You know, this is a very interesting question, because what you did, again, you gave your adverb of frequency generally. Okay. You gave me the time that you wake up in the morning. You started talking about your routine. And then again, you try to finish your work as soon as possible. Then you go into the evening. But if I actually go into detail in regards to this question, it says, do you feel more active to work in the morning or in the afternoon? So we're talking about work specifically, not so much your routine before work. So what, yes, I would like you to do to help bolster that argument is, again, you're going to choose active to work morning or evening. Oh, I'm sorry, morning or afternoon. So what you would do is choose one of them and give me two reasons why you are more active, you are more energetic, you're more enthusiastic in one of those time frames. Because again, generally, you could say generally in the morning, I'm far more active. One reason is because, and then a little detail. The second reason would be, and another detail. Now, the thing is, what you ended up answering somewhat revolved around routine. And I'm scared that the examiners, it's okay. I'm just saying, like, the examiner, I'm trying to think from the examiner perspective. You know what I mean? Yes. So again, answering like that, that could end up being a little bit problematic. And who knows? They might reiterate and say, no, I wasn't talking about your routine. I was talking about this. And when that happens, that might just end up throwing you off in general. Yeah.
Yes. So I'm doing it again. I'm an early riser. So I love to work in the morning. Because when you work in the morning, you feel more energetic and you can do your best, because you have a fresh start in the morning, and your mind is also fresh at that time. No pressure is on your way, and you can work efficiently at that in the morning time, rather than working in the afternoon or in the dawn.
Okay. Good details. We just have to switch the pronoun. Like you were saying, you. You need to say I. That's it. Yeah. Yes. Right. Just small details, Sodom. Small details is what I'm picking out right now, you know?
Yes, sure.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're giving suggestions, okay, you would be better off, or you would be more suitable in the morning because of this and because of this. But again, you're talking about yourself and say, all right, because of this, there it is. Good. Not bad. Again, just giving you a lot of feedback. I'm making this beneficial for the both of us. Yeah. So again, shout out to Ren. Just wanted to say hello to Ren. Finally, the subtitles are actually working for the first time. So that's actually really good. So anyways, we got the part one. For everyone else out there, the part one questions, you could give 2 to 3 sentences. It doesn't really matter in terms of how much. You want to go deeper in the part three section. But in regards to, the part one, okay, basic questions. 2 to 3 sentence replies, and use your words. Use a variety of different vocabulary to describe things, right? So I've gone over that in other podcasts. So make sure that everyone who's listening, you refer over to that. So, all right, Sodom, here we go. We have a part two. Okay, I'm going to have to count in my mind because I actually have my phone on over here. So the part two for tonight is, describe a person who taught you something. Okay, let me turn on this light a little bit. So describe a person who taught you something. So again, what did he or she teach you? Who they were? How did you feel? And are you going to do that specific thing in the future? I'll repeat that one more time. What did he or she teach you? how did you feel, who that particular person was, and are you going to do that in the future?
Yes.
All right, so you got everything? You got everything? Yes. So I'll give you 1 minute. I'll give you 1 minute to create it. And so for everyone out there, don't worry, Sodab, you can keep going. For everyone out there who has not or hasn't taken the IELTS yet, this part two revolves around you speaking anywhere between 90 to 120 seconds, a minute and a half to 2 minutes. Now, I'd like to encourage all my students out there to have that sort of storytelling feel. I don't want you to force yourself to becoming a storyteller if you're not. But the more you tell it as a story, the better the outcome is because it provides that coherence. Also, never reiterate the question. Okay? Now, again, what did he or she teach you? Well, she taught me, right? I felt. Use other words that are synonymous to that to describe it within that story. So you do not have to reiterate. Again, this is called ellipsis. You do not want to reiterate that question. So, sorry, I just wanted to explain to everyone out there who might be tuning in. All right, you probably got about 10 seconds, I think, perhaps. I'm really, really feeling this good stuff over here. This is good in terms of the subtitles. And stuff. So, alrighty.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah? Yes. Okay. Today I would like to talk about a person who taught me Hindi. She's my mom. She's a teacher. She's working in a school for the past 23 years. So, as you know, she's a teacher. So I was learning from her since my childhood. She taught me our native subject, which is Hindi. And when I completed my senior secondary from the similar school where she is teaching, she told me that you must go for your bachelor's in the same subject that I taught you, and I chose that subject. And whenever I face any kind of problem, I know she is always there for me. As we know, it is our native language, but there are many various skills that we need to learn for become proficient in that language. So she always guide me in that way, and when I completed my bachelor's in the native subject, so she guides me that you can apply for teaching as well. And you can become a good teacher because you are skilled right now. And as you get experience on your daily basis, you will get the hold on your subject. And we know that whenever we teach, we also learn on the same way. And I'm very thankful to the God that she gave me the best mother, who taught me this subject, and right now I'm definitely trying to learn English as well, which is our second language. Right now Arsenio is helping me to learn that skill. I'm thankful for that.
All right, so here we go. There's a lot of different things. Thank you so much at the end, by the way. But again, I felt like there was a lot of repetition, right? So if we look at, you said she, I'm not exactly sure how many times you had said that. But again, you kind of reiterated things that you stated at the very beginning in regards to Hindi, who was this lady? It was my mom. Okay, opening. But then you went back and said, yeah, it was Hindi. And then you continue going on and on and on. And again, the story, like the core of the story. Now, again, are you going to do it in the future? Is this something that you're going to use in the future? You could have hurry or quickly state that reference. Yes, this is something that I'm obviously going to learn in the future because of this, this, this. Something very like explanatory, like it's out there and it's a question you answer. But I felt like you never got around to that particular, you know, to that particular part of your talk. Again, how did you feel? Like you were very grateful, right? You were saying you were very grateful, but you could have went more, you could have been more descriptive about it, saying, you know, learning it, it was extremely challenging. I had to learn this amount, but or this amount per day for this long, for this many weeks, months, years, and whatnot, and still learning it today. But it has encouraged me to become a teacher, and this is something I'm definitely, you know, those clear linkers to the whole story and the whole cohesion in general. I just felt like probably like between that minute and 2 minutes, there was a lot of going like regular conversational tone rather than you developing the overall body of work.
Yes.
Right.
I also got confused while speaking today. I don't know why, what is happening.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Yes, hey, it happens to the best of us. Believe me. Yeah. So again, I'm able, and this is what I love so much about like doing coaching, especially like teaching and coaching on Zoom, because I can always refer back and see, Arsenio, you kind of said the word crazy a lot, or you have a tendency of doing this. You have a tendency of doing that. And these are just quick little things that you could fix and stuff. So this is why recording yourself, you know, I would recommend, you know, recording yourself like I have before, like doing these types of speaking tasks, going back and taking notes. Okay, I said she 10 times. What's another personal pronoun to help reduce that? You know, that was that last little speaking IELTS coach thing, all that stuff that I did recently. But yeah, in terms of that, that's something that I'm definitely going to send it to you right after this. That's for sure. So that's a part two in general. You did all right. You did all right. But again, can it be improved? It's all about hearing that constructive criticism and getting better from that. So, hey, that's all right. That's all right. I mean, from last time, I remember last time you did very well. This one was a little more difficult, wasn't it?
Yes. I'm getting confused, I think. So that's why, in my mind, right. I want to say something, but on my tongue, I'm saying something. I don't know why.
Right. But you're saying another thing.
Yes. I'm thinking it's happened sometimes.
Right. Yes. Oh yeah, absolutely. Again, what you think, and this is why I just love flow and being able to go with the conversation that much, because in one of the exam success podcasts that I did with this other girl who had given me these questions, she was telling me that there are different stance markers that she says to help gather her thoughts. So she's like, you know what? That is an excellent question in regards to what is happening around the world today. Again, saying that a little bit slower, that can give you an additional 5 to 6 seconds to gather your thought. And she just switched it up every time she had some of these difficult questions. So yeah, definitely some things that I'll be referring over to you right after this podcast. So, okay, here we go. Let's get into this part three. Education and the internet. Both you and I are in the realm of education. So why do you think university students prefer online classes?
Right now, in India, it has become a trend to do the online courses. Because it is beneficial, you can work part-time as well by working. and there's more opportunity for you. You can even do two courses at the same time, because if you go to university, you can only do one course. So I think, in my opinion, university students prefer to do the study via online.
Hey, again, you said it's a trend, beneficial, and you gave me a reason to why it's beneficial. They'll be able to do part-time jobs. Also, opportunities. What were the opportunities? Taken two courses. So I love it because you kept my recommendation in terms of thinking and always keeping that in mind. Okay, in twos. Always give two examples. Now, a lot of people would say, oh, but what about one long example? It could be good. But again, if you want to avoid some of these very difficult rounded questions at the end that might make you have to think a little bit more and it might throw you off, that is good. You didn't have to reiterate at the end saying, yeah, and this is why I think, you know, yeah, you don't have to do that. You could just give two examples. But
thank you.
Kept it in your head. You remember what I taught you before. Very good.
Thanks.
Very good. Oh, yes. Okay, here we go. You already talked about the advantages. So are students who learn virtually, are they able to become critical thinkers while they're learning virtually? Or do they have to be in a classroom setting to become a critical thinker?
As I am Indian, I know that students over here, they only do the formality to get the classes online. But I know the students need the classroom to get good quality of teaching, as we know, over here, we only focus on theoretical subject, not on practical subjects. So if they need to be a critical thinker, they need to be in the classroom, because they then at that time they can talk with their mates and their tutor, like what is in their mind, how they can develop that idea in the future. In case of a commerce student, if he wants to do any business, so if he's planning to do any business after schooling or after college, he can discuss it with his class or with his tutor, like how he can start, what he needs to do before starting the business. Suppose we know that we need to register ourselves with the government authorities, like this stuff. And if he wants to do another study, so he can get guidance from his teacher.
Okay. Now, at the beginning, you had a reference. You went slightly into the body, then you went into the body, which was excellent. And that body was, okay, you know, student needs to be in a classroom. Then you went on with the supporting detail. The format was really good. But then after you said supposed, you went down a different route. Now, yes. I think to stay safe, did it feel, Sorab, do you feel at a particular point, did you feel that the logic just kind of fell a little bit after you kept talking more and more?
Yes, I made a mistake because I want to give an example, a perfect example. That's why I didn't control the way I'm speaking. So I need to control that. Yes.
Right. Because again, you did great on that. And again, you kind of eased into it, which was an excellent format. But then when you gave the example and you started talking about business, I was like, uh-oh, the logic. No, Sonam, don't do that. So in my mind, again, so that was happening. But
actually, I took the part of commerce, because in commerce, we have a specific topic. So if you want to start your business, there's a small course in our graduation. Suppose, so if you after your graduation you want to do, if you want to start your business, like the teacher is there, they guide you what to do, what you need to do, the things before starting any business. Like you need to apply for a PAN and all that stuff. Like you have to register with the government. So that's why I consider that example.
Right. But that was good because the practicality, right? And we were talking about critical thinking and being in the classroom, you have things that are tangible. It's practical. Like, right? Yes. You can't become a doctor without doing 4 years of pre-medicine, right? You can't become a dentist without doing at least 2 to 3 years in, you know, medical, you know, in dental school and everything, you know? So that practicum ends up being that critical thinking, and that critical thinking allows you to, again, the business would have been very good if it all went together, because again, you need to be a critical thinker when it comes to business, and you have to think about, okay, what are some things in regards to critical thinking that I could add to some of my structure in case I'm, you know, I'm asked a question like this when I do my IELTS. So good. There's a lot of good knowledge behind that. They'll be able to, you know, I can refer back to you and send you the podcast and everything and stuff too. So not bad, Sodab, not bad. Okay, I'm going to give you one more. We're going to top this off, okay?
Yes.
This is going to be hard though. How, and again, given the circumstances of what's happening in India, how will you convince university students to go back to school?
Okay. From my personal experience, as I started teaching, I know it's a tough situation to convince anyone to go back to school. But as I'm a teacher, I have to try and I have to make sure that our students come back to the school. And what can I do at that time is the thing. I would like describe them the precautions that we are going to take during the class, and how we are going to control the students when they are coming inside the university or inside the school. As we know that in India, people do not follow laws and regulation properly. They do follow sometimes, but in case of school, I know that when students gonna come back, they're gonna hug each other, and we have to make sure that we have to stop them. So I need to convince student in terms of taking precautions and in terms of doing the session in the classes. So these are the things I will try to make them convince.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a rounded question. Okay. So let's say that you are able to convince them into, you know, again, abide by certain guidelines. What about the students who are scared? How are they going to be comfortable with being back in a classroom setting? What is something that teachers can do that can help provide that sort of security, saying, hey, yeah, everything's going to be okay, I promise? What could you do?
Actually, I have an idea for that. If anybody feels scared for coming in the class, we can show them the live demo session that we have a plastic box, and a student can go inside it and sit on his bench, and he can lock the plastic sheet, he can be careful at that time, and he also can wear mask and use his own sanitizer bottle to get safe during the class. And if we got more ideas to make them comfortable, we will definitely do that.
That was excellent. That was a good two. That was what I was looking for, because when I asked you the question, you were talking about guidelines from a teacher's perspective rather than from a student's perspective. Because again, when you're trying to convince them to come back to school, let's just say that the students are scared. So what are some things you as a teacher and the school in general can provide? So you talked about the boxes and being in a box and the mask. And so those were two really, really good ideas that helped it. Me, I felt like that first question, the reason why I gave you a rounded question was because I think that first question, you didn't hit it off in particular. So then I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna ask him again from a different vantage point. And then finally you got that gambit and then boom, you were able to provide a good example. So good.
Yes.
Good job, Mr. Asoda. You know, again, like seeing what's happening out there in the world and hearing some of these questions, know that, again, it depends what line of work you're in. But again, you just so happen to fall in the line of work that whereas that question is perfect, both you and I. So you need to be prepared for that because I do believe at some point, one of these examiners might say, oh, you're a teacher. So what are some things that you could do as a teacher that can help provide safety for the students when they go back to school? There is an excellent chance they might ask you that. I highly doubt they're probably not going to ask you about movies. They're not going to ask you about magazines. They're going to ask you about things that are possibly happening right now. And it could be the big ones, such as education, technology, and science. I tell everyone to prepare for everything, but those three, you need to be overly prepared and always over prepare, okay, when the opportunity comes, rather being under prepared. And when you sit in front of that examiner, everything just falls apart, right? So,
yes, yes.
Good job, Sorab. Good job, man. I appreciate it. I just want to say thank you so much. And for everyone who is tuned in and liked the live feed, I just want to say hello to Kareem. And oh my God, I can't say the second name, but I know you're from Myanmar. I've noticed those names. So big shout out to Myanmar and big shout out to the wonderful Filipinos that have been out there. So again, Soda Man, I just want to say thank you so much for joining me on here. I wanted to give you some live questions that were asked very recently rather than going in a completely different direction and asking some other questions. But man, I really appreciate you coming on here, man.
Thanks. Thank you. And thanks to you. You like called me for this podcast and I'm feeling appreciate. I appreciate the way you teach and
thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Again, like you've been on the podcast before. And again, yes, yes. For everyone out there, if anyone is interested in these different types of live type of IELTS, it's not like a real legitimate mock test. I'm just giving I was giving them basically structural feedback rather than all the specific error, you know, or this or that. Yeah, I guess you could say repetition, all that stuff. Because again, that kind of goes along with the structure. Without that is no coherence. Without coherence, everything falls apart. But again, if anyone else is interested, we got 21 days left. I'm calling out one more person to come on and join me for one of these live sessions. And again, I'm going to be doing four more to top off this year. So with that being said, guys, I just want to say thank you so much. And Soda Man, and thank you. Guys, I hope you enjoyed that one. Again, man, thank you so much for everyone who has been tuning in. Again, my podcast is skyrocketing at the moment. I'm so, so excited because, again, man, you know what? I said again like 3,000 times. Portugal and Tunisia. Big shout out to you. It took long enough, but I got Porto and Tunisi tuning into my podcast as well as so many other, cities and countries around the world. I'm going to be giving big shout outs coming up soon, so you better stay tuned. And as always, if you guys are interested, get in touch with me. I'm your host, as always, over and out.